Luke 17. One thing that was brought out in a message in one of the books that we did, where we were contrasting God's world and man's world. One truth that came out of that was that being born into this world, the world of man, which is the realm of time and of history, we tend to think in a certain vein, understand in a certain way, according to all of the different aspects of man's world. That determines the way we live and the way we think. It is not that way in God's world. When Jesus came, he came functioning according to God's world. He functioned in the realm of spirit. He didn't draw out a sword against a Goliath, for example. He didn't proclaim war on Philistines or anything else. He came doing something very, very different. And everything that he did according to, how would I say it, according to the principles of another realm. Consequently, people did not understand him. They couldn't relate to what he was doing. He worked some miracles, and they oohed and aahed over that. But primarily what he was doing, no one was aware of. He just operated on the different principles. If we're going to know the Lord, we're going to have to learn his ways. And you remember in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high above the heavens as from the earth, so far away are my thoughts from your thoughts, and so forth. When there is a people on earth that function according to the principles of God's world, the principles of spirit, and they will do that because they're born again of his world, then they're not going to be understood by man. It's just that plain and simple. They're not going to be understood by man. But yet we look at the different forms of Christianity, all the different denominations and so forth, they operate on principles of man. One of the main things about man is he likes to be recognized. He wants to be noticed. And that moves into religion. So he wants to be noticed by man's world. Jesus wasn't interested in being noticed by man's world. He had a job to do, the will of God. And that was the thing that he was going to do. And by doing the will of the Father, the whole world was going to turn against him and crucify him. And he knew that had to be, because man's world will always reject and be against the things of God. That's just the way it is. He knew that he had to go to the cross. He knew that that man was going to be against him. There's a couple of verses of scripture here. I just want to read them. And let's see if there will be some light to come upon us. But I think it's very important that we understand that if we are functioning in the Lord as we should, we're not going to be understood by man at all. In Luke 17, beginning with verse 20, he was demanded of the Pharisees. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and remember now, the Pharisees, this was the highest order of religion that man had. They were the in crowd. And so they were demanding of the Lord and saying, when will the kingdom of God come? And he answered and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. You cannot observe it. Well, Jesus Christ was the king. When the king appears, he doesn't leave his kingdom behind. He was the king. He was the kingdom. And because he was standing there, so was the kingdom. They couldn't see it. They had no awareness of it. So they said, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And he said, the kingdom does not come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, that the Greek worded there can be, behold, the kingdom of God is among you. It's a word that means basically the same thing. It's among you or within you. And at that time, the kingdom of God was among them and they couldn't see it because the king was there. He was the king, but they didn't see him as a king. But that was the thing that was that disturbed them very much when he was crucified. Pontius Pilate asked him, so you're the king of the Jews. And he was king. They couldn't accept that, and they did not understand that the kingdom of God was right there in their midst. Alright. As the kingdom comes, it comes forth within us. If we understand, what about this day? Now, Jesus is not standing here on the earth as he was at that time. But there's a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually that has taken place. And he's coming forth within people. And as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords come forth within us, so is his kingdom. And this is how it takes place. And it doesn't happen in a way that it can be observed by man, because the different things of this world will not give an indication of it. It's not manifested in the realm of man. It's something of spirit. You know, there will not come a time when they will say, over here is the king and his kingdom. Over there is the king and his kingdom. No, it doesn't come with observation. For the kingdom of God comes within you, you see. He said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you shall not see it. Because it's not going to happen in the realm of man. And they shall say to you, see here, see there. Do not go after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part unto heaven shines unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. See? And that's not talking about a bolt of lightning. That's the lightning. He gives the illustration of as the sun that shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. That's important. When the Lord comes forth in his people, there's going to be a rejection. When the kingdom comes forth within us, there's going to be a rejection. Man always rejects. See, first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Oh, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. We sang that chorus a while ago. God is moving by his spirit, has to go through all the earth, signs and wonders, when God's moving. Move, O Lord, through me. Now, we sang a little chorus like that, signs and wonders when God's moving. Yeah, there's signs and wonders when God's moving, but they're not signs and wonders in the realm of man. Because as far as man is concerned, comes without observation. Those signs and wonders take place within. That's kind of like in that prophecy in Matthew 24 with the coming of the Lord. What happens? Well, nations shall rise against nation. There should be earthquakes in diverse places. All the things that are listed there is going to happen. So people looking for those things to happen out in the world. No, those are things that can be observed by man. That's not the kingdom. But there's a way in which those things take place within us. Because as the kingdom of God come forth within us, the kingdom of man is tumbling down, being destroyed, you see. There's a rejection that takes place, a rejection of the kingdom of man that is within us, as it's rejecting the kingdom of God that is coming forth within us. And then there's a nation rising up against nation. The Lord is coming forth within us to bring down the kingdom of man to establish his kingdom. And so all these things are taking place, but they're not signs and wonders in the world. They're signs and wonders that are taking place within us. One other scripture here. John chapter 3. You know, this is a most difficult, very difficult thing for any Christian to be able to make that switch over and be able to function in God's world or in the realm of spirit. They want to bring God into their world and continue to function according to the ways of man. And it cannot happen that way. God refuses to do it. Now, in the third chapter of John, this is where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus that, you know, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's in verse 3. In verse 5, he says again, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we've talked about this many times in several of the messages, that there's a born again experience that takes place so that we can see the kingdom. And then that born again experience has to expand in order to enter into the kingdom. But so what we're getting at here is the fact that you're not either in or you're out. It's a change that is taking place within us, you see, as he comes forth within us. But we determine what that's going to be or how it's going to be. As long as you're hanging on to the things of this world, as long as you're refusing to walk according to the principles of spirit, and you want to continue functioning as a man in the world of man, then you're constantly rejecting the very thing that God wants to bring forth in your life. You see, it's like the Lord is saying, we're trying to get you born again, brother, but you're rejecting it, you see. But anyway, you must be born again. Now, verse 6 and 7. And 8. These are verses that are not usually emphasized very much, but they're the ones we want to come to. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, that which is born of man is man. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you're very religious. You're part of the religious order of this day. And you should know these things, but you don't know what I'm talking about. You have to be born again. You have to be born in the world of God. You have to be born spiritually in order to be able to know the things of God's world. So you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows, King James says, the wind blows where it listeth. That's old English. The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from where it came or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's saying the same thing here that he said in Luke 17. The kingdom of God comes without observation. When a person is born again, he becomes a man of spirit, and the kingdom is coming forth in him. Christ is in him, and he is no longer operating in function according to the world of man, but is functioning according to the principles of God's realm of spirit. And when that begins to happen, he's like the wind. You can't tell where it's coming from, can't tell where it's going. You kind of hear the sound of it. He functions in another world. Look at verse 13. No man ascends up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven. And at that very moment, while he's standing on the earth, he is in heaven, is what it said. He is in two worlds at one time. And if we're born again of spirit, that doesn't mean you're yanked off the earth and taken up into the sky somewhere. But to be born again means that you're now in heaven, in heavenly places in Christ. You're in the realm of spirit. You're functioning according to the principles of a whole nother world, a world that man himself has no awareness of. And that's why he always rejects it, because he can't understand it. I don't think I've ever connected these two scriptures together, but here they are. Can we understand that being born again means a lot more than just having your sins forgiven? Because Christians, for the most part, have their sins forgiven because they repent, and God is always willing to forgive of sins. But then they continue to live according to the principles of man's world. And you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. It's going to be one or the other. So when does the kingdom of God come? It comes within you. And it comes without signs to be observed. It's like that wind. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from where it's coming or where it's going. It's of another realm. Amen.